From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a local and statewide news update. Congress set aside $8 billion for tribal entities across the country as part of the CARES Act, but it took a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in June to free up some of those pandemic relief funds for Alaska Native corporations. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, some of the village corporations got large payouts, while Juneau-based Sea Alaska, the regional corporation with the most shareholders, got relatively little. And corporation executives say they're still trying to understand the wide disparities in disbursements.
The Supreme Court ruling freed up nearly $450 million in federal pandemic relief. Corporations large and small had applied, some expecting to be able to offer some direct relief to their shareholders.
Our amount was going to be around $154,000, so we thought, my gosh, did we fill out the forms wrong? You know, maybe we missed something.
That's Don Bremner. He's president of Yaktat Kwan Inc. That's Yakutat's village corporation, which has just about 500 shareholders. That means the federal aid would work out to about $300 a person.
It wasn't something to get excited about. That's pretty much chump change in any corporation our size, you know.
It was a similar story in Angoon. Melissa Kukesh chairs the board of Kutznawu Inc., which has about 1,100 shareholders with ties to the Southeast Village on Admiralty Island.
Our corporation only received $168,625. And it's disturbing, especially when, you know, an urban corporation just up the way from us receives over $11 million.
She's referring to Juneau's Gold Belt Inc. It received about $11 million, and its board is working to distribute the cash to its 4,000-odd shareholders.
We're trying to push out as much as possible to shareholders to get their relief, to get that money in their hands as quickly as possible.
That's McHugh Pierre, Gold Belt's CEO. The Juneau Corporation is offering its shareholders up to $2,600 in direct assistance through the end of September. Then it'll decide what to do with the rest of its cash.
There's enough for everybody. This isn't a needs-based system where your income qualifies. If you can certify you had expenses and you're a Gold Belt shareholder, we have enough money for everybody to receive relief.
Juneau's Native Corporation has about four times as many shareholders as Angoon's, yet it received more than 60 times as much federal pandemic relief. A federal database listing the CARES Act payouts to Alaska Native corporations shows these disparities were common. Staff at a number of Native corporations said they didn't understand exactly how the formula worked, but corporations with more shareholders didn't necessarily get more money. Village corporations have been seeking an explanation from the Treasury Department, but Nathan McCowan, chair of the Alaska Native Village Corporation Association, says they haven't gotten a satisfying answer.
They were translucent, but not transparent.
According to the Treasury, one of the factors would be the number of employees the corporation and its subsidiaries have. McCowan says that seems to have affected many of the payouts.
From what I've heard so far, there does seem to be a strong correlation in that the larger the operating base, the larger the number of employees, the greater amount of money that the corporation received.
That might explain the case of Afognak Native Corporation. It received $19.2 million, or nearly $20,000 for each of its 1,000-odd shareholders. It's a relatively small village corporation with ancestral ties to the Kodiak Archipelago, but its revenues are more than $500 million a year. It also helps explain why Juneau's Gold Belt, which boasts more than two dozen subsidiaries, received more than twice as much of this federal relief as Sea Alaska, the ANCSA corporation with the most shareholders overall. Sea Alaska executives declined to comment, but released a statement directed at its 23,000 shareholders, saying the federal formula favored corporations with more than 1,000 employees. The corporation to receive far and away the most CARES Act funds for tribal entities was CIRI, the regional corporation serving the Cook Inlet region, including Anchorage, Kenai, and the Mat-Su. It took in more than $111 million, or roughly $12,000 per shareholder.
I don't know how Treasury made their calculations to determine the allocation.
Ethan Tyler is a CIRI spokesperson. He says the regional corporation serves the most populous part of the state. It runs South Central Foundation, which serves some 60,000 Alaska Natives and Native Americans.
I can say they appear to be based on three factors, which are tribal population, employment, and increased expenditures. But we were not provided a basis for the amount of funding that the Treasury allocated to anyone.
This money has strings attached. It has to be spent on pandemic-related expenses. And under current deadlines, CIRI's full $111 million has to be spent by the end of the year.
and we're actively seeking to extend that deadline.
This month, SERI announced its shareholders can apply for assistance of up to $1,500 plus more for those with dependents. That's not something many other corporations will be able to offer their shareholders, especially in rural Southeast Alaska.
It's just really challenging. And
that's Kutsunuwu Inc.'s Melissa Kukesh again.
And the amount of money that we received, if we divided it up between our shareholders, it would be less than $150, I believe. And that can't even get you a plane ticket to Angoon.
Which doesn't have an airport. All air service comes via seaplanes that land on the water. That's another project her village corporation is working on, trying to develop an airstrip for the island community. With additional reporting from Liz Ruskin in Anchorage, I'm Jacob Resnick in Juneau.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game stocks some Alaska lakes with hatchery-grown fish for anglers. It unloaded hundreds of rainbow trout into a lake in Nikiski for the first time Thursday. And as KDLL's Sabine Pooks reports, it was quite the spectacle.
Yeah, let her have them, Captain.
1 minute, there are zero rainbow trout in John Hedberg Lake. Fewer than 30 seconds later,
fire in the hole.
There are 700. Nikiski residents are cheering on fish culturist Chuck Pratt Thursday as he flushes hundreds of trout from a hatchery truck through a hose and into Hedberg Lake. It's the first time the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is stocking the lake, just off the Kenai Spur Highway in Nikiski, around milepost 23. Starting in 2022, the department will add 1,000 rainbow trout fingerlings to the lake each year.
Yeah, if you have a hook, you can get them. Now, they're for the catch, hook, and line.
Jason Ross is president of the Nikiski Community Council, and he's been building the park next to the lake for a few years. He says fishing was one of the first things people asked about when he got started.
While I was out ice fishing one day, I was like, well, maybe I ought to talk to some people. So I just called Fish and Game.
Fish and Game stocks several lakes in Nikiski and around the peninsula. Jenny Gates, assistant area manager for Fish and Game's Soldotna office, says there are a few factors the department considers before it stocks a lake, like lake depth and oxygen content.
Primarily the most important requirement for our lakes is that they have public access and that they have adequate habitat to sustain a fish population.
The 700 trout the department unloaded Thursday are from the William Jack Hernandez Sport Fish Hatchery in Anchorage. They're between 9 and 14 inches and were originally supposed to be part of a fishing pool at the Kenai Peninsula Sport, Rec, and Trade Show this spring before the show was canceled. Gates says the only other fish they found in Hedberg Lake are sticklebacks. The lake is 23 feet at the deepest and named for a Nikiski homesteader, though it's not officially John Hedberg Lake yet. Ross says they're still working to make that title official. Gates says Fish and Game doesn't currently have a formal program to survey and sample stock lakes.
I'll probably come back in the spring and have a look at this lake and see how the fish did over winter. Set a couple of fike nets and variable mesh gill nets for an hour or two and see what we catch.
Ross says he'd like to host fishing events at the lake in the winter. He's been working on making the park accessible for local recreationists with a track for bikers and ski trails in the winter. Tony Loop of Nikiski is building a community garden next door. Here's Ross again.
My vision is definitely some ice fishing contests for kids is one of the things I really want to do is be able to have people come down here, bring their kids down here and have like maybe a one weekend ice fishing contest and, you know, see what we would do for prizes and whatnot or whatever, just to have some fun and get some people out of their house in the wintertime and have an excuse to go ice fishing and you know, bring the kids along.
The bag and possession limit for rainbow trout in Hedberg Lake is 5 fish, and only one can be 20 inches or longer, according to Fish and Game. For more information on sport fishing regulations, head to the Department of Fish and Game website. For KDLL, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Well, guys, what do you think? Does it look okay for them?
Yeah!
The state reports 23 new cases of COVID-19 in Juneau. There are currently 4 people being treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital. The Juneau School District reports 3 people who tested positive for COVID-19 and were infectious while in school. Harborview Elementary has no additional classes quarantined. All classes at Juneau Douglas High School are operating on a regular schedule. The state reported 592 new COVID-19 cases today. Nearly 81% of Juneau's eligible population has received a first dose of the vaccine. Anyone who is 12 years old or older is eligible to get a COVID vaccine. In Juneau, call 907-586-6000 or go to juneau.org/vaccine to make an appointment.